everybody, this is William Del Pilar, and welcome to Fired Up, Your Conservative Talk with the Conservative Latino. And it's been a while, my friends. So what happened is we had to switch providers. Our last provider, God bless him, living the dream, got bought out. Prices got jacked up through the roof. We're a small company, so we decided to test out this other provider. And I was the only one out of the group having massive issues. There's a couple of podcasts we did, and I'm like, oh, no, we've got to get this rectified before we keep going. But we are back, and has a lot happened since I've been gone. And we only have about an hour, so we're going to be tight on time because we want to discuss three heavy topics. We want to discuss the Padilla takedown, taken down like the dog he is. That's right, this conservative Latino said it. So what? Then we're going to talk about a Fired Up California topic on Fired Up, the Los Angeles riots. Whereas Democrats want you to sit there and see, nothing to see here. These are just peaceful protests, the double P, you know. And then from there, we're going to go into the Israeli attack on Iran, justified or not, and where does America stand with that? And with that, my friends, let me bring on my co-host. I'm trying to get a nickname for him that goes with India. You know, the tiger from India, the Bengali barbarian. I don't know. We'll figure something out for my good friend, G. Mangani.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you doing?
Good. Unfortunately, I've spent my 50 years on Earth. I've spent maybe 4 months in India. I mean, can you really consider me?
I don't consider you Indian. I just love poking at the fact that I'm Latino and you're of Indian descent because I'm American. I grew up as American. My friends had no clue I was Puerto Rican Panamanian, but because of politics, I make a note that people know that to sit there and show that, hey, we're not all full-blown leftists. There are Latinos who are conservatives, but to be quite honest, I don't know where the Indian culture stands on predominantly Democrat. Like, for example, blacks and Latinos tend to vote more Democrat than conservative.
I would say Indians typically, and you'll be maybe surprised by this, but it's 90% Democrat, 10% conservative. Yeah, I found that out maybe 6 years ago, and I was actually shocked by that.
That's even worse than Latinos. I mean, the Trump movement shifted us over to the right.
Yeah, I think Latinos are 60-40 now, right? Something like that. So 60% Democrat, yeah.
And black men are increasingly joining the party, you know?
I think they're around 20% if you talk about black men specifically, yeah.
Right. And the reason this is all important is because, first of all, it shouldn't be important. But it's become important because Democrats saw that's our ticket. You know, we can get them back onto the plantation. Because that's how I feel. I mean, I know that sounds harsh, but that's how I view it. I mean, am I wrong to sit there and say, if you're Latino or black, when you leave the Democrat plantation, they call you every stereotype in the book. For blacks, it's Uncle Tom. You know, for Latinos, I was called a beaner. You know, I'm like, I'm not from Mexico. Then I was told to go learn English. I'm like, I grew up speaking Spanish and English. Spanish.
Well, when you break their worldview, they get vicious, right? The worldview is, oh, if you're brown skinned, then you've got to think Democrat. You got to be liberal. And when you're not, then all of a sudden you just threaten their whole way of life. And they must think, well, then you must be a traitor of some kind or an Uncle Tom if you're black and you're conservative or, you know, so I think it really shocks them, and they have a certain for a group of people, and you know, obviously I'm not going to paint every Democrat and join them in their stereotyping, but for a group of people who say they don't stereotype, they actually stereotype quite a bit. So if you don't follow their convention, hey, you're brown skinned, you've got to vote Democrat, then they get upset and emotional about it.
Remember what Biden said on Charlemagne the God? If you ain't black, you ain't Democrat. Yeah. You know, they're going to keep you in your chains. I love the way he says that. Chains. And Hillary, got to be some hot sauce in my purse. You know, it's like in Kamala, you know, it's, they throw on all these accents, you know, to the Democrats, why am I like this? You guys fought everything from day one of the founding of this country. That's not disputable. That is fact. You know, you guys didn't want slavery to end, caused a civil war because of it. You didn't want women to vote, did everything you could to stop that from happening. You did everything you could to sit there and stop the civil rights movement. And then somebody in your – then what happened, G? Somebody from Columbia or Harvard graduated with a marketing degree. I know how we can keep those bleeps voting for us for 200 years. Lyndon B. Johnson. Quote, you know, and they created the greatest marketing campaign in the history. And how did that marketing campaign start? Or all the racist Democrats became Republicans. You know, gee, only three out of the 300 became Republicans. And then when you expanded.
Look at George Wallace. I mean, they said, I watched a documentary about 1968. They're saying he paved the way for Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan. But the guy was a Democrat till the day he died. I mean, even the 80s, he was a Democrat. Now, he ran against the Democrats in 1968 and took a couple states, but he was a Democrat the whole time. And you brought up this thing, and I was saving it for later, but you just softballed it in the air, and I'm
ready. Are we
going
to have a premature ejaculation here?
No. So what year was it where Democrats fought for state rights to protect a certain group of people because of their cheap labor? 1858 or
2025?
Gavin Newsom here, sanctuary cities, saying, no, we need these illegal immigrants here because this is them saying it, who's going to pick your vegetables and clean your toilets?
And I call them racist. I'm like, you think that's all we're good for? That is like a white person going, well, hell, all the blacks were good for were the cottonfields back in the day. Look at all the crime. Look at all this. Look at all that. And, you know, we would condemn that, man, as we rightfully should. But Jasmine Crockett keeps saying it. And what they don't realize is a lot of conservatives and a lot of Anglos won't speak up for fear of backlash. But a lot of those are Democrats who are going, enough. You don't want me? This is what you think. Latinos. There's a lot of Latinos who are like me, who are spreading the word. Hey, this is why they said that. This is why Bishop Boulay, the Episcopalian bishop that chastised Trump in Vance, you know, she earned millions. She lives in a mansion. You know, I'm sorry. I have issues. Maybe I'm wrong, G, but I have issues when I see these preachers. There was a Baptist preacher. I prayed and God gave to me my dreams. Hallelujah. I need a plane. He said, you have to give me and deliver a plane. And then he goes.
So he can preach the word more often.
Yes, yes.
In Bora and then Bora.
The Joe Osteen's, the Billy Swaggerts. I have issues with that because I don't believe in a vow of poverty. But I do believe that you should not be living large off of people's money that they have given to you to make the world a better place, not to give you a Beamer. I have issues with nonprofit CEOs making $250,000. I have issues with government employees. And I'm going to point out to California here, where a fireman, God bless his soul, a policeman, God bless his soul too, they earn and they retire earning $120,000, $150,000, and then 10 years into their retirement, they're earning $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 because all the unions are working these deals with politicians who don't have to pay it on the back end. So I do have issues with people who are serving, and when I say serving for the greater good and whatever, of abusing that. And, you know, it's just Boudet's the worst, you know. Those Latinos, man, I got a good one cleaning my toilet. You know, I just had diarrhea. He did a good job. Really, Bishop? Really?
Anybody hear from Kelly Osbourne since she said, who's going to clean our toilets if we deport all these people? I haven't heard a peep from her since then. I mean, she slinked away in shame because she just revealed how racist she was.
Who?
Kelly Osbourne. Oh, you didn't catch that one. This was 10 years ago.
Oh, Kelly Osbourne's daughter. Yes. No, I caught that. I was switching. I was like, why does she sound so distant? I didn't have my headset on.
Oh, yes.
She sat there and said it was when her mother was the host and the Osbourne name. It's funny you say that. I keep popping up on my Hulu, Jack Osbourne and Bigfoot, Jack Osbourne and Osbourne. And I'm like, what happened to the Osbournes? But, yes, she made the comment about toilets. That's what we were good for, or who's going to clean her. You know, but that's the cat getting out of the bag. And look, people, you can look at my skin. This is who I am. This is the Spaniard in me. But then, and I've told this story a million times purposely because it shows the diversity of Latinos. The American government has brainwashed you into thinking we're all Mexicans, short and brown. And there's a majority of us that are short and brown because of the Indian blood, the Aztec blood, the Mayan blood. In Panama, the Cudro. I always mispronounce it, but there's a bunch of native tribes of that blood. I thought my sister was Asian. Now she is because we have Asian in our family, but we also have, when I went to where they grew up, I'm like, oh, look at all these Asians. The light went off. Oh, I see my sister and that. So we're so diverse, but they want you to think we're short and brown. And that's where the Democrats screwed up, G. They thought for sure we got these brown people. They're going to come to us. No, because we care about our wallets. We care about bettering our kids, you know. And the most disgusting thing I hate, and that happens continually, is we're going to get that minimum raise for you so this job can be a career. No, you shouldn't be pushing people to flip burgers as a career. But that's what they're doing, G. And that irks me. It's, you know, it's like I was the first college grad. My sister was a rocket science first daughter, but I was technically the first college graduate. My family. And then you know what I realized years later? I didn't need that business degree. I got my former partner his VP job. He didn't have a business degree. He had a work degree, you know? It's like there's a lot of degrees we don't need, but college has become such a financial scam. Like you take Big John. You know, Big John's my partner. He's produced for us at times. He's got like these technical degrees. Like I think it's biology or something. He's got you got to go to college for that type of stuff. Lawyers, doctors, biologists, molecular scientists, which is I think what his wife is. There's too many smarts coming out of that damn family. But you see my point. But for business, I mean, do we really need 5 years, 6 years of liberal arts? And I'm not lying, G, to the audience. This is not an exaggeration. Every damn woman studies major I ever met in college stayed in college to work on their PhD because there's no job for them out there.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, what do you do with a sociology degree? And I can say that because my wife got one and she got out of college. She graduated. We were dating at the time and she didn't know what to do. I mean, she interviewed to be a stockbroker because she's like, what do I do with this thing? And no one wanted to hire her. And they're like, well, what skills do you have? And so going back to the minimum wage thing, especially here in California, you're absolutely right. So, and this might not be politically correct, but you pay minimum wage for minimum skills. If you don't have the skills, that's the bottom part that you get paid. As you get skills, and let's talk about flipping burgers, like you said, you get better at it. You get faster at it. So the next year you get a raise, right? And that's great. So after 2 or 3 years, you get a raise. Then the governor goes over there and says, hey, we're going to raise minimum wage. And boom, you're making minimum wage again.
Yeah.
And it's like you're always at the bottom because they're raising the minimum wage. And the guy who just started is getting the same pay as you. So I think it is a permanent class of servitude that they want to keep these people in. And that's not what it's meant to be. You're supposed to rise to the ranks, get more skills, get better and better at your craft until you retire. Mm-hmm. And you can even change jobs or whatnot.
Yeah. They just want a poor man. You know, I saw – what country was it? Mike Cernovich. We all know who Mike Cernovich is. He's a big Twitter guy, over 1.5 million. I have a love-hate relationship. I agree with it some of the time. Some of the others don't. And then he said, I can't remember what culture, but Iran. He was saying that Iran, they make you take an IQ test, and if you're too high, they ship you out. So data on that is what I did on my research. I was doing haphazard research, you know, checking the internet. Hey, that sounds odd. But there is a brain drain from the college kids. It's no different than in Puerto Rico, where I'm from. It's the smart kids, the educated kids, they leave the island because there's no jobs. It's a situation in which they see the better opportunities here in the States. And that's what's happening in a lot of these countries where they flee. You know, they're like, you know, I don't want to wear, what do they call it, a shawl, the women, I don't know. Because we saw, I don't know if you saw the video. I saw a video once of a woman. She wasn't wearing it. And then you saw this van, stop, boom, and they grab her and throw her in there. And somebody says, yeah, she's going to the detention center. My dentist got, man, we had some of the greatest conversations. And she was my dentist for like 10, 15 years, you know, and she just retired. Oh, and Doc, you were hot, you know, these hot, you know, dentists. But my point is she was from Iran. She would tell me stories, you know. And if you can move around more freely than what people assume. But it's a despot-driven nation. Where I came from Panama, when I was a child, it was Torrijos, Omar Torrijos, who the military intelligence helped put in charge of Panama after the civilian government fell. So, yes, the U.S. does, what do they call it, G? They do, you know, they do work with regime change.
Right. Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. And that's the CIA all in that. That's a whole nother 2-hour subject.
Exactly. But so everybody there, I'm not going to say the term, but it's a military term that they use because I was a god in Panama, any Spanish speaking country. I'm 5'7". I'm as good looking as you get. I understand, ladies. I understand. I'm kidding, obviously. But my point is I speak Spanish, speak, read, and write Spanish. You know, I'm not ugly like some of these nerds over there. And what do they see? They don't see me for my mind, G. They see me as a ticket to the United States, you know, because they want to get out of the country. Could have had the pick of – there was always somebody from my mom's side of the family trying to hook me up with her daughter. And I get so mad at my mom for going along, you know. But that's just the way of the world. And, I mean, we've really digressed, so we should probably get back on topic, you know. But to the point of the people is the United States of America is seen as that what's that saying, G? We're the gem on the hill. There's a saying.
Yeah, shining light on the hill. Of light on the hill. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. And guys, I was 5'7". My favorite sport was football. I was too small to play. I love fantasy sports. My wife got mad at me one day and said, "Why don't you learn how to make some money doing that?" Because I was always on the computer with my fantasy league. I did. I helped commercialize and pioneer a brand new industry along with my partner Big John, and only in America. Working a 5'7" Latino who couldn't play the game helped catapult that industry that is now, well, it's corrupt now, corrupt in terms of gambling, but is now a multi-billion dollar industry, thousands and thousands of jobs, and lived the American dream. And it didn't bring me riches and wealth, but gotta get it as humans and feeling as if you're part of something big. I could not have asked for a better American dream. And that's why I'm a conservative. That's why I fight for things. Big John will tell you, I want to teach people this is how you fish. Because if I can learn how to fish, what greatness can you do? Because my company, G, was seen as one of the top three companies, whether it was ESPN, CBS, whatever, KFFL. Now, a corporation bought it, dissolved it into their own brand, their brand failed, and my company ceased to exist. But nobody will ever take, and I knew that. That's the other thing with America. We can't be I could be a victim. Oh, y'all do this, y'all do that. I knew that could happen. I knew the odds were pretty high through the steps it went through that would happen. But so what? I got to live the American dream, you know? And what more can you ask for with that? And G and I are reliving it now. You know, we're going to take this show to greater heights than it's ever seen. Grumbly's right. Media. If you're a libertarian, check out Big John and Hody Johns on their libertarian shows. And we're going to get right into our show now, people. So I'm going to tell you how I titled this, because I'm a conservative and I'm not a fan of my senator, Senator Padilla. Gee, was Senator Padilla appointed? Didn't he win re-election already?
I think he was appointed and then won the election.
Yeah, okay.
If I remember correctly,
I can't knock on him on that. But this is the title of this topic. Padilla, taken down like the dog he is. Man, William, that's kind of harsh. No, what's harsh, G, is he was looking for a George Floyd moment. I think the Democrats are looking for anything to become a George Floyd moment and make the dominoes fall and to have these riots nationwide. Because everything else they've tried to stop Trump with, they can't. We're not going to talk about it here, but people, the economy's up. It may not be up a lot compared, but the reason it's up, I bring that up, is because everybody said, oh, doomsday, tariffs, doom, oh, tariff, bah, doom, and none of that happened. So Padilla and the Democrats are looking for every way to take it down. Before I share the video, G, your thoughts on Padilla?
Yeah, I mean, in the words of the immortal Lloyd Benson, during the debate, he goes, Senator, I knew George Floyd. I served with George Floyd. George Floyd was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no George Floyd. I mean, I don't know what he was trying to do, but I think it was absurd. I think he is trying to make a – I don't know. Sometimes in politics, right, Rosa Parks, I mean, she did an amazing thing, right? She defied the rules of the day as segregation sat in front of the bus. And sometimes you definitely need to do that, but that was a calculated move. I know that there was planning and plotting behind it, and you have to do that, right? But sometimes I wonder if a guy like Alex Padilla, if he's really thinking through this and he's just plotting and trying to make something happen and it failed, or if he's just emotional. Because sometimes these guys get really in their head about, okay, anything Trump does is wrong. Anything Trump does is wrong. And they get so much in their head, they just react and lash out. Just like you'll have to remind me of the guy who did it at the State of the Union in January, right?
Waved Al Green.
Yes. Waved his cane like he was from, 1840, waving it at, Andrew Jackson or something. It's so bizarre, but... I think Governor Newsom is even trying to get into the spotlight, and I think Governor Newsom's getting a little more traction with his "Bring it on, arrest me, but don't hurt the 4-year-old. The 4-year-old just wants to get educated. Sorry. I mean, come on. I mean, what's going on with these guys? So Governor Newsom might have gained traction with that, but Alex Padilla, I mean, I think a lot of people are like, who is this guy and what did he do? And
exactly. Gee, I tweeted out, look, I know who Senator Padilla is. I don't know him like Lloyd Benson knew JFK, but I know of him. When he was attorney general, I think he was attorney general, got elected, but he's the type of cat who, without his civilian clothes, without me knowing or somebody pointing out, he's one of those, I know that guy from somewhere. I know. He's not a recognizable face. And the reason I say that is that plays an important part. And I want to show that. Let's show the video. And to everybody, I apologize. They're going, who's Padilla? What's he talking about? Senator Alex Padilla is the individual who interrupted Kristi Noem and lunged at the podium, they say. I didn't quite see the lunge, but I saw him walk towards it. And Secret Service did not recognize him. He was not wearing his U.S. Senator pin. He was in everyday average Joe clothes. I'm not saying it's obnoxious in civilian clothes, not in his $500 suits that one of his donors probably got him or paid him the money to get. Actually, I apologize, Alex. It's probably a $2,000 suit he's normally in. $500 suit, that's what G and I are sporting, because that's just what a suit damn costs nowadays at Men's Warehouse. Oh, granted, Men's Warehouse, you get two for $500. Got the plug out there for you guys. Our sponsor this minute, But my point is he's not recognizable, and he did not recognize them. And we're going to talk about that, but I just wanted to set up the video for you. Here.
Just one quick disclaimer before you start the video. I was just using that as a reference. I did not know George Floyd. George Floyd was not a friend of mine.
Yeah, there you go.
Secretary, I want to know why you insist on...
So I want to say thank you.
Secretary, I want to say thank you to every single person that has been able to do this. Get out of here. Also, I want to talk specifically to the secretary. Because the fact of the matter is, a half a dozen bilinguals that you're rotating on your
I also want to.
Okay, real quick, G, I just paused it there for the fact he did not identify himself until he was asked to leave or being pushed away to leave. And then here's the mistake he made. He started to resist and force himself up. Now, I could sit there and say, hey, I'm Willy Wonka, you know, and or better yet, a better example, hey, I'm James Bond because there are kids named James Bond and the cops laugh at him. The point being is, you can say whoever the hell you are. At that point, they want to remove you because after two assassination attempts on Trump, they're not going to take any chance. You know, so just because he says it, they doesn't mean they need to let him go. You know, somebody else could, another example, somebody else could call themselves somebody, they let it go, then pop pow. Or as they say on the internet now, pew, pew, pew. Yeah.
Specifically. Well, hands
behind your back. Hands behind your back.
And he's still resisting right here, G.
All right,
that's about that. But see, he resisted. You know, G, a question for you. If you got Shao Kahn and you in one instant and said, I can take on the world. For y'all that don't know, he's India's greatest actor, biggest actor. Plays phenomenal tough guy roles. What would they do to you?
Yeah, I mean, if I came at in his Shah Rukh Khan.
It's
not Shah a middle Khan. Name. It is part of his first name. But, yeah, I mean, no matter who it is, if you come towards someone and you're not with the rest of the crowd, that does look threatening, right? So you can clearly see there, he's not sitting in the audience with the rest of the group. Christy Noem is still speaking. I mean, the whole time she's still talking.
She doesn't miss a beat.
Say again?
She doesn't miss a beat.
Yeah. And no, she kept talking, right? And so there wasn't time for Q&A, so why is he coming at that? At her from an angle like that. So I think the security was right in what they did. And then, like you said, he's resisting, which is bizarre, but he could have just said, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Okay, I thought it was Q&A time or something like that to defuse the situation. No, he was intentionally throwing fuel on the fire and saying, hey, I'm Senator Padilla, so you got to treat me special. And I'm right. Sure he's one of those guys who said, no one's above the law, not even Donald Trump.
Yeah, he did say that.
He did say, I just knew that because he had a D after his name. But yeah, if he actually did say that, yeah, it's hypocritical. And that's how a lot of these people will think. I'm special, but not Donald Trump or Christy Noem, and I can do whatever I want, so hands off. No, if I had done that, and I was in the room, and I came forward like that, and I resisted and acted belligerent, then yeah, I would have been on the ground with handcuffs on.
Right. So let me bring up, what do you think of this? Remember Steve Nikku? I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, Steve Nikku or Steve Nikui, 2024 arrest during the State of the Union for shouting at Biden about his son's Afghanistan murder. It wasn't a death. Joe Biden allowed 13 American soldiers to be murdered by putting them in a situation which any Tom, Dick, or Harry is going to go, I think we're vulnerable here. Nah, you did. You know, that's what they told him. And they arrested him, sent him on his way. You know, what makes him any different? We see this all over. I mean, I'm beating the dead horse on this issue. But what about the aspect that he went on the morning shows and was all crushed? Oh, they treated me like this and all that. I identified myself as a U.S. senator. And as we saw in the video, he did after the fact, after they're already pushing him around, you know. Your thoughts on that, on the fact that – see, I guess what I'm asking is, what's your thought on the fact he's willing to lie? Where are the Democrats where they're willing to lie? And how do you think the public's taking it?
So, okay, this goes back to the Democrat approval rating is as a whole is down to 22%, meaning they lost a lot of Democrats, right? And I'm seeing this on CNN. This is not Fox News or Newsmax. This is CNN reporting on this. And the reason why they lost a lot of Democrat support is because they're not resisting enough. They're not fighting hard enough, right? So now you're getting these Democrats thinking, okay, now I've got to take a stand and be dramatic and go on the morning talk shows and talk about what dramatic thing I did. I was defying the president. So now I can go ahead and say, you know, I tried to fight for you guys and tried to stop the ICE deportations and all that. And look, I got on the ground and handcuffs on. I mean, what a tragedy. No, he's not above the law. And you know what? I think any – okay, so he's a senator. Great. So you have actually a higher standard and code of conduct that you got to adhere by. You should be sitting down in one of those stupid seats and wait for your turn to ask a question. Raise your hand and have some decorum. Don't act like you're some activist from Code Pink. I mean, is Code Pink still around? Cindy Sheehan?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Maybe not so, Cindy Sheehan. They turned on Cindy Sheehan because she started asking questions, you know. They're like, get out of here, woman. You know what? She left the plantation.
Well, that's great. So Alex Padilla, we welcome you over to this plantation over here. Or we're not a plantation. But anyways, I'm just talking. Sometimes I say things wrong. But no, he's acting like an activist and not an elected official, a senator, one of two from the state of California, the largest state in the union. What are you doing, Alex Padilla?
And, you know, Alex Padilla is not a small guy. You saw the video. Us Latinos, we don't come in extra large, but Alex Padilla comes in extra large. The man's been enjoying, and I'm Latino, I can say this, because I know there's some people going to go, what a racist. He's been enjoying some good old burritos or some kind of asadas at 2 a.m. in the morning. That's a big guy, G. Don't you think that, I mean, doesn't that, I mean, you saw him, he towered over the Secret Service guy.
Yeah, I mean, it took a few of them to get him down, but yeah, I'm not much into body shaming, but yeah, I mean, he clearly has a presence about him.
Yes, yeah, I just tried to look up his height, and freaking, you know, Google, ChatGPT, it's not right to be asking the person a question like that.
Hey, Shah Rukh Khan, we talked about him earlier. Everyone thinks he's like 6 foot. He's 5 foot five. 5 foot six, maybe.
No way. I don't
believe he's short. That. He's short.
No way. For those of you who don't know Shah Rukh Khan, he is, I think G told me once, he's like the fourth richest actor in the world or something.
Fourth
like
or third. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's massive. You go to Netflix, there's like movies from the turn of the century up till now, and he's still playing the leading guy. To make it worse,
yeah,
you don't want your hot looking woman near him, because that man be his late 50s now, and he's still going to take your woman. You know, that's how good looking he is. Yeah.
And he's still making romance movies, and they still are all blockbuster movies.
Yeah. And he owns a cricket team, so his wealth, he's smart. He's somebody you admire, you know. How do you say the guy's name? I always mispronounce it.
Shah Rukh.
The other one's Hrithik Roshan. He seems to come from a big
Hrithik. Yeah, the age is silent. Hrithik Roshan.
He's the guy with the thumbs like this, with a thumb like this. I don't know if you're aware. Are you aware of that?
No.
Yeah, his right hand, he's got a second thumb over it. And God bless him, I love people like this. He goes, I'm not going to cut it. You know, that's just a flaw I have. It's who and what I am. I'm not going to cut it. You know, but there's something about making a fist. I'm like, oh, he's got two thumbs, man. I'm worried. I'm kidding. But he's also another leading man. And for those people, check out some Indian movies. Check out Norwegian movies. You know, I know my partner, Big John's right. I am missing some great movies, but I'm just tired of a 98-pound woman beating up a 300-pound man, you know, or that 300-pound man hits a woman and she's standing your ground. I guarantee you, 150-pound man hits a 98-pound woman. She's going to move, you know. So I just got tired of that, and I started it with Asian. Well, I guess India's technically Asian, but, I mean, Chinese movies, some Japanese movies. And, you know, my wife doesn't like them because she doesn't care for the subtitles. But you find some serious gems in there. You're like, holy, man, that's pretty good. And no disrespect, G, but Indian movies in from around the turn of the century to right around 2010, because I used to watch a lot of them on these long flights to go diving trips, you know, like to the Philippines or places like that. Man, that was the bad acting there. I'm like, damn, dude, click, what else is hot? But they've really turned the corner over the last 15, 20 years in making some high-quality movies. So check them out. So we digress a bit there. I'm trying to look for some more points here on this. Now, Do you think they're going to be able to make this an issue? Do you think they're going to be able to use this to keep these riots and keep this hate going?
No, because if it bleeds, it leads, and whatever bleeds more will lead. So, look, Padilla and Newsom, and I know we're about to talk about him, they had their time. But Israel and Iran, that's going to take the limelight now. So that is the big news. And I think it's just going to take the oxygen out of the air for these stories to try to – I mean, Padilla is probably sad that that's happening, but which is unfortunate. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to turn into anything.
And I got news for you, D. I'd make a day great Democrat. I can cry on demand. Alex, you need some lessons? Show me some samples. I'll show you. There's a great scene you guys don't know since we're in Hollywood of Spencer Tracy with Katharine Hepburn. It's from the 40s, so you knew the newer generation has no clue, but people a little bit older seen as two of the great idols from the golden era. And in the movie, he had a bet with her. Yeah, I can't make myself cry. So you're watching just the screen, and if you've been sure enough, there comes the tear coming down. But women, they have turned that into an art. I'm sorry, biological women had turned that into an art. All right, let us move on. Okay, I asked you for your final comments on that. You gave those. My final comment on that is Alex Vendido, sellout. He's selling out. He's a sellout to his people. He's a sellout to his culture. There are Mexicans on camera. We don't own that guy. We don't claim him. Why? Because you're not doing what's right. There are too many honest and hardworking Mexicans, El Salvadorans, Latinos in general, Hispanics, you know, Chicanos, whatever you want to call us, who we're just working hard and want to make our way in life. The fact that you're condoning and defending the riots that are happening. We did not talk about this. We're not going to move on. Real quick, G, the Home Depot raid that started all this, they weren't just the media has sat there, they were rounding people up, rounding them up. Come here, boy. You know, no. They had warrants for criminals. And here's what I learned today in my research. A lot of these illegals, and even the hardworking ones, the ones who just want to come here and earn a living, they get sucked into that cartel life. They pay the cartel to get them up here, and they're married to the cartel for life. Not because they want to, because as Don Corleone once said, one day I will ask you for a favor. That favor happens the minute they cross the border, and they become drug pushers. They become eyes for them for their sex trade. Yeah, there's a chica. She comes in every day. There are all kinds of things. And there's some hardcore people there. Those were the people they had warrants for at the Home Depot. But you see how the media twisted up. And before I go, G, too, the media is completely lying. How dare they do this to a sitting senator? We didn't mention it, but it bears mentioning. Gavin Newsom, if they'll do this to a senator, what will they – I'm sorry, he's the white guy. If they do this to a senator, what will they do to you? Well, we saw what they did. You called the National Guard out to arrest our asses if we didn't take the COVID jab. Who can forget? Remember the paddler? He's up there surf-padding where they're just on standing on a surfboard. Clean is open, and there's nobody around them for at least 50 yards, and there's that police boat, you know. Return to shore. You know, they arrest him. So we have seen what you've done, Gavin. You will arrest us. President Trump is doing what I hate giving Lyndon Johnson, because I believe Lyndon Johnson was one of the racist presidents we've had. But he's doing what Lyndon Johnson did in the 60s when he sat there and called out the National Guard to protect blacks simply trying to go to a high school because the governors would not protect those black Americans. Trump saw, Governor, you're not calling the National Guard because you want these riots to explode. You know, that's what you want. So you're not calling out the National Guard. And gee, your comments on that, because that's going up the chain right now. Gavin Newsom, he held a press conference and said, look at my head, I'm Gilligan now. Gavin Newsom, he called a press conference and said that we have won. I will be taking control of the National Guard back in the morning. And within minutes of Stephen Breyer's leftist dictatorial authoritarian brother who's a judge who went by the, yeah, it was just a few isolated events, no big deal, as his motion, his reason for denying Trump the use of it, within minutes, that was put on a stay. This is going to make it to the Supreme Court, I think, because everything seems to be making it up that way. Your thoughts on Gavin Newsom, his and the media pretty much trying to say that they viciously attacked Padilla?
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder where Gavin Newsom was before Trump called in the National Guard. I think he was at Disneyland. He was totally silent, not in the news. This thing's erupting over the weekend. And all of a sudden, Trump does something to protect human lives, to protect property, and to restore law and order in doing what he needs to do. That this is given to him by the Constitution to protect us from an invasion. And it's an invasion if you're waving your own flag from the country you just quote-unquote received from. That's an invasion.
And we can debate that, meaning to the people who don't disagree, but it's not a closed issue. You're not right. Maybe G's not right. I'm in G's side. Right. But it's a debatable issue because that's what we're seeing happening. There's a great video. We did not show it. That shows this black guy. Oh, y'all complaining about it. You were born down in Kaiser Hospital down the road. Y'all fools sitting there complaining, waving this other flag. You're not waving American flags over there in Mexico, are you? Because you wind up in the back alley with the cartel helping you out. You know, it was just hilarious. But I wanted to show that, but we didn't have the space because that's how I feel. I'm like, y'all have no clue. Y'all think this is a dictatorship? Y'all think this is authoritarianism? It's becoming that because you're too clueless to sit there and look at the person you're electing into office and what they actually vote on. I mean, I was an idiot after the turn of the century. Patriot, yeah, we need it. We need it. Or after 9/11. Now I'm like, well, what the hell y'all doing? You know, so be careful what you wish for because the worst of it will come true. Sorry about that, G. Go on.
No, I just think that Gavin Newsom, he rushed to the cameras the moment Trump made his announcement that he's sending National Guard here, and then he turned into political theater, which I think is totally absurd. And then Mayor Bass of L.A., you know, her term, I hate it when she does, Angelinos, like it's like a pet name, and it just comes across like patronizing to me. I don't know. I'm not an Angelino, so I'm a San Diegan, so maybe I don't get it. But it just comes across patronizing. She goes, Angelinos don't want this, and we're going to protect every single person here. Well, okay, so you're creating rules to thwart the federal government from enforcing what they need to enforce, which is immigration law, and they need to do it. And Trump has already said he's not taking out every single person who's here illegally. He's starting with the lawbreakers, and then he's going to discern between the rest. And so she also runs to the cameras. And so I just think it's political theater. I think they're Gavin Newsom. I mean, he was reeling from the fires, right? He was reeling from the damage the fires had done to his legacy of not building enough reservoirs and actually tearing down reservoirs so that we didn't have water to fight these fires. But he goes, this is my chance. Now I can be the one who can take the Democrat approval rating from 22% to 42% by saying, I'm going to fight Donald Trump on this. But I don't hear him saying anything about MS-13. I don't hear him saying anything about the illegals who are committing horrible crimes like rapes and murders. Nothing like that. And he hasn't cared. And this state's out of control. But he's more concerned about becoming president in 2028. I think he has some traction with his, you know, you want to come and get me, Tom? Come and get me. Put me in handcuffs.
But the problem, though, G, is that's just he's got that moment in time. But that's all it is a moment in time. And the seriousness of this all that aggravates me and angers me, especially if you're black or Latino, there are business owners in New York City, in Minnesota. They lost their business. And most Americans, we're not taught to live, to save and live. We live check to check or we can last for a month or two. Those people have lost their businesses forever, you know, and they're black and they're Latino, Vietnamese, Korean. And the Asians suffered the most because they were targeted by a lot of blacks in the BLM moment. I'm not picking on black America. I'm just stating fact. It's like, that's what the Democrats want. They want us at each other's throat to hate one another, you know, because if they can't get all the minorities under one umbrella and they massively fail with Latinos, they want us at each other's throat. So that's why I look at Alex Padilla. I look at what's happening with these riots. And I'm like, you know, instead of sitting there and wanting to support people who want to take your job, take our job, who want to destroy our social service industry. No better example than Smithfield, Ohio, with the Haitians. They came in at 20,000, completely destroyed the economy, the way of life there. And the sad thing, G, is the Republican-led, or rather the Rhino-led Chamber of Commerce pushes that. Because the corporations want free labor. So there's a lot riding on these LA riots, and I think it's fizzling out. I don't think it's grasping as they want it to, because right now about 80%, I know about 50% are okay with Donald Trump in the end of that. In fact, we had those numbers, G. Let me pull those. I just said we were going to move. 54%. Yeah, okay, yeah, there you go, 54%, yeah. So this
and that's CNN saying it. It's not Newsmax, it's CNN. I mean, you know, that's the rock bottom numbers. 54% approve of what Donald Trump's doing.
Yeah. And what it boils down to, so instead of smarter people wanting to find a solution, they generated hate to the point that the Lake and Rileys became the main story. And that's what perception became reality. Now they want them all out. And Black America is finally realizing what I've been saying for 20 some odd years. They're replacing your job. Your son that you hope could sit there and get out of the ghetto, get a job at McDonald's, learn some responsibilities, accountability. They're like, screw your boy. We're going to sit there and hire this boy over here. And this is illegal. And we don't have to pay him minimum wage. We'll pay him under the table. The restaurant industry thrives on that. The construction industry thrives on that. You know? And, well, Americans don't want that job. That's a lie. Mark Levin showed some stat like 20-some-odd years ago. Americans will do those jobs. Once you pay them an American wage, you bring your standards up, but instead they don't pay them an American wage. They pay them below market wage. And even worse, they don't maintain those areas where these illegals live. Right. They don't maintain the equipment. Nah, it's just illegal. Nobody's going to know. You know? And if the illegal all of a sudden wants things changed with that, they don't hire him. Or all of a sudden ICE gets that phone call. Hey, here's a bad dude. You know, so they're not helping us. And a lot of Blacks are finally realizing it. Hey, they used us since the 60s with a lot of promises, and they've given us nothing. And I'm happy to see that.
Well, I will tell you, so in talking to different people and watching different things, this is what I've gathered, that up until Obama, there was definitely like you had the Blacks mostly voting for Democrats. It's like 90-10, right? So it was a very high number, maybe 92-8. And with Obama getting in, they thought this is the chance, right? Yes. They'll make. And I even thought that. I mean, I didn't vote for him, but I thought, okay, well, maybe this is a chance for everyone to kind of just, okay, it's great to have a man who's not white in the presidency to get the activists to chill out and go, okay, we've overcome. We finally overcome. And what happened, actually, and I'm hearing this from a lot of my friends who are Black, they're saying Obama was a complete disappointment. He didn't do anything for the community. And when Trump finally gets in, he actually creates opportunity zones for African Americans, right? And so they're going, wait a minute, the guy that you're telling me is the future Hitler, even though he doesn't have a mustache or anything, this guy is not going to do anything for me, but he's actually done more for me than Obama. So the Obama coalition started to fracture. Now Biden, because of the COVID pandemic, he got in, but Kamala Harris couldn't keep that. I mean, she was trying to recreate the Obama coalition. That's why she ran on her color. She called herself Black, even though she's half Jamaican and her dad's side of the family owned slaves, not were slaves, but owned slaves. And then the other side.
Oh, and remember, G, 1% of Americans actually owned slaves. So he was in the high elite status there.
Right. And then the other side of her family came from the same country that my side of the family came from. So, and then she's calling herself Black. And then I think that offended a lot of people. She's trying to build this Obama coalition. And a lot of these people, I saw the guys from CNN going into the Black barbershops, and they're like, she's not Black.
That's right.
I mean, she doesn't. She might have the genes, but she doesn't have the experience. And I totally agree with that. I would always, even though I'm Indian, and I said this at the beginning of the show, you call me Indian, I don't have that experience. I mean, I don't shake my head like this, and I don't eat with my hand. You know, I eat with a fork.
What G is saying, he's never worked at a 7-Eleven.
I've never worked at
a 7-Eleven. How dare you say that, William?
So I'm a software engineer, so there's my experience.
He's on the opposite side. Yes, I'm stereotyping in a joking way, because here's the issue, people. Hey, he's working in that 7-Eleven, and he likely owns that 7-Eleven, you know, so I'm just kidding. But, yeah, you know.
No, but I'm just saying that.
I get that.
The Obama coalition fell apart because there was a lot of hope in getting the quote-unquote first black man, even though he was just as white as he was black. And I'm talking about Obama. And he didn't end up doing anything for them. I mean, there was nothing. In fact, he stoked the flames of racism.
Yes.
When did BLM start? It started under him. It was in 2011, I think.
Well, you
and then
go
think
back.
About it.
The, go back. The Harvard. Harvard.
Say again?
The Harvard incident.
Yeah.
Two points, G, is I knew he was lying for two reasons right away. He's a product of the Democrat machine. He came out of nowhere, but he wasn't an outsider. He just came out of nowhere because I don't think Hillary's just that bad of a campaigner. That she lost it. Hey, we can ride this guy. And the moment he said, if you like some doctor, you can keep your doctor. And I'm like, 1 + 1 does not equal 3, people. And I was proven right. And then I knew he was a complete fraud when the woman fainted in Detroit. Oh, he's going to pay my rent or my car bill. And I'm like, that's what he was hoping for. That's what the Democrats wanted. And then came the Harvard incident where he blamed the cop. It turned out it was the Harvard professor. That's your racist. Then he sat there and said, Trayvon Martin could have been my son. Really? So could have George Lopez because your mama was white. So getting a kid the color of George was actually a pretty good shot, you know? So he did nothing but stoke. And that was his job, to stoke. And he wasn't a good politician. People say, oh, Obama's still doing this. No, Obama, he had his donor masters no different than George Bush. You know, no different than – in fact, I think out of the Democrats in our lifetime, Bill Clinton was probably the most renegade Democrat president we've ever seen in our lifetime. You know?
I think he was more conservative than George W. Bush, in my opinion.
Yeah, but that's, you're right, he was, but that was also a product of the times. They were kind of forced. That was when the Congress still functioned as the founding fathers. But Obama is not very smart. And people before you go, oh, because he's right. No, I actually view Obama smarter than George Bush. I just think George Bush had better handlers than Obama did, because Obama could be easily exposed. And then, oh, my God, I mean, we have really digressed, but it's, oh, my God, Michelle Obama. Have you heard her podcast? It's like, oh, you poor woman. Oh, you poor. Oh, my God. Really? Oh, you're like, oh, and what's your therapist say? Oh, okay. What's that? Oh, yeah, your daughter. I know you. It's tough with daughters. Yeah. What's that? Oh, really? I mean, you had to do all that? Oh, you poor, poor thing. I mean, it's just one sob story after another. This woman is miserable. She's just a miserable.
I've never
woman
watched
with no support.
The podcast, but I watched highlights on like Benny Johnson and Bill O'Reilly, and I can't even stand to see the highlights. So
yeah.
It is like a therapy session. It's not a talk show. It's a therapy session.
Yes. No. It's not a therapy session. She plays the role of the client talking to a psychiatrist. She doesn't. It's not a therapy session. It's somebody whining for 2 hours. And my God, I will defend Michelle. She's not a man. Y'all been confusing her with her brother, because her brother and her look like twins. Yeah, he's just the male version. Yeah, and then whatever he does to his lips, it's like, dude, stop, you're scaring me. You know, but nobody's watching this. That's the other thing. See, my whole take is when someone's manufactured, they eventually lose their appeal. Trump is phenomenal with his endorsements. He'll lose close races here, and the mainstream media blows that up as if, hey, this is a trend. But he's got like a 90% endorsement record or something like that. No. Obama literally has a 10% endorsement record because people voted for him. They did not vote for his beliefs, what he says, and he started losing his luster. So when people were like, oh, Michelle, I did see her at first. Then I saw that podcast. Boy, we had nothing to worry about. You know, the woman is terrible.
Right.
Terrible.
We were worrying back in July. Oh, she's going to pull a maneuver at the DNC convention to become the candidate and all that. So
no, exactly.
Thank God that didn't happen. But I will tell you this, and this is a little bit of a sidebar. We have not treated our ex-presidents kindly. not since Reagan. I think Reagan left and George H.W. Bush won re-election just because Reagan left with such an – I mean, he had Iran-Contra and all that. Yes. But the American public loved him, and they never denigrated him after he's out of office. But think of George H.W. Bush, Clinton, George W. Bush, Obama, and then Biden. We have not treated them kindly after they've left office. I mean,
why is that, though? Now, Clinton, it's just been the last 15, 20 years. But when he first left office, it was the same way. What happened, G, in my opinion, and to the audience, if you haven't done it, find a book on the Florida recount. That's when the media changed. The media used to be like, gee, treat him with respect, dignity, et cetera, et cetera. No, well, hold on, G. They do treat Bush with respect and dignity now. Why? Because he's pretty much a leftist, George Bush, and because he hates Trump so much. Because Trump made Jeb Bush look like such a little girl. You mistreated daddy. I hate you. I mean, that's pretty much what the Bushes have become. But what happened was at the turn of the century, the media said, the gloves are off. And they just started a flat-out line about conservatives, flat-out line about Republicans. How do I know this? I've always been a political junkie. CNN and MSNBC, I've said this before, Harbaugh was my favorite show. Then I just noticed this trend with CNN and MSNBC. It started with the guests. The guests became – they were bringing rhinos on and calling them conservative Republicans. You know, and that's the – and eventually I'm like, this is full-blown leftism, and they're bringing rhinos on as Republicans, and it's gotten worse. And with that came all the attacks. People forget, they claim that George Bush stole the election against John Kerry. You know, so all this, they claim that George Bush stole the election against Gore. And what I'm not going to get into it because it's a whole other chapter, but the recount stories are phenomenal because you learn the nuances of what the Democrats are doing. Just to give you a little peek, maybe we'll do a true crime on this because that's what it was becoming, was a crime in what the Democrats are doing. Al Gore selected the deepest, bluest Democrat counties to cherry pick for votes.
Yep.
And I'll leave it at that, you know, and that's how it began. But, gee, just to answer your question, you're right, no president has gone unscathed. And I'll be honest, in a perfect world, they should. We should leave them alone. But with all due respect, if a president wants to stick his nose in, as Obama has done, then the kid gloves are off. Especially now, as we know, he's nothing but just another pawn for the donor base, and he is his own worst enemy. Y'all ain't voting for Kamala, she a woman. And all those black men in
that's gaslighting America, right? You're yes. Misogynist. I mean, there were even Obama's gaslighting black male saying, you can't vote for a woman? Are you going to betray your own race by not voting for a black woman?
You know, and if the liberal comes out and me, no, Obama, I can't vote for a slave owner. Yeah, because Kamala's family, you know. I'm being sarcastic, but the point is, they are so hypocritical, it is beyond words. All right. I wanted to get those final points in, and we digress into Indian actors, into double thumbs, but it's all in fun. I don't want to spend a lot of time. We're going to do a Fired Up California episode, I'm sure. Maybe G and I more likely, but if G's too busy, I'll dig out some hobo from the homeless camp down the road. You know, we're going to talk about these LA riots very in depth. But I wanted to not gloss over it, but some of the key points with this LA riots. But first, before I find my notes here, G, what are your initial thoughts on these LA riots? While you're talking, I want to show the face. I want your comments on the face of the LA riots and your initial thoughts.
The face of it is our videos and images of people weren't waving Mexican flags in our streets, burning cars, throwing cinder blocks at people, at police officers. I don't know if they threw them at ICE agents, but I know at least police officers, which was terrible. They're throwing rocks and damaging police vehicles.
Can you see that, G, the image?
No, I don't see anything right now.
Ooh.
I just see the background.
Okay, people, I apologize. Keep going.
Yeah, so I think that's the face of it, right? And when the American public, the rest of the nation, is looking at this going, what's going on over there? So who's going to step in and do something? Well, like I said earlier, Governor Newsom, I don't know if he was maybe using more gel in his hair and trying to make it perfect or something. I mean, the guy has really nice hair. I mean, I'm envious. But I just think Trump looks at that and goes, okay, somebody's got to do something. And he calls in the National Guard. And they're like, all of a sudden, how dare you? How dare you call in the National Guard? The same exact thing they criticized him for not doing in 2021, January 6th, right? Right. So I just think they're using this as a game, and it's disgusting. It's a Hollywood TV show for them, like Cops, right? Remember Saturday night, they would have a new season or episode of Cops. And
who are you going to call?
Who are you going to call? And it's like, well, obviously we can't call Governor Newsom. And so, yeah, so now you look at Trump calling in the National Guard, and then all of a sudden, oh, out of the blue, out of the egg, pops out Governor Newsom saying, how dare President Trump use his dictatorial powers to come in here and oppress our people. And then he does that. I think it was a 20-minute segment with MSNBC. It was the one-on-one interview. And all anyone remembers from the 20 minutes is him saying, Tom Homan, you want to come and arrest me? Go ahead, but leave that four-year-old who just wants to get an education. That's not what's happening over there. That's not what's happening in LA. ICE was coming in to arrest and deport criminals, not four-year-olds.
And just to go further on that, in fact, he can take the story over. That's what they're doing at Home Depot.
Right. Yeah. So exactly. And you could talk about the Home Depot thing, but let me just finish my thing. So I just think this is all political theater, and it's all revolving around 2028. That's the disgusting thing to me. I think midterms, for Newsom, yes.
But for the Democrats, I think it's midterms.
Midterms, they need to control Democrats. But maybe you're right. Maybe Governor Newsom's just looking for a year and a half from now and saying, okay, what can I do to be the standard bearer, right? So he picks up the California and the Mexican flag in the other hand and says, I'm going to lead this charge against Donald Trump. And I'm not sure that plays well outside of the blue states. I mean, maybe that plays well here in California. And I've got Republicans saying, do you agree that they're raiding schools and pulling out kids and deporting them without their mom and dad? And I'm like, I'm asking, you've heard that, right? But do you have any evidence? I heard from a friend who heard from a friend who saw it on Reddit, who got it from 4chan.
Who got it from the hobo living down by the river in the van.
Right. If that was really happening, you would hear it on MSNBC. Those guys would jump on that and say, Donald Trump deported a four-year-old from a preschool class and dumped her across the border all by herself in Tijuana with her mom and dad, crying out from the other side of the iron gate saying, give my daughter back. And Donald Trump said, no, you can't have your daughter back. No, if that was true, it would be all over the airwaves, and we know that. And every Democrat and Republican listening right now, and Libertarian, Big John Lith too, knows that would be the case. That's not what's happening.
We haven't talked about it. We're not going to talk about it. But it's the same thing with when Elon flew too close to the Trump sun and flamed out and lied about the Epstein. First of all, where does Elon gain access to that? Second of all, Obama could have won the 2016 election for Hillary if that had been true. He could have released those tapes. And Biden had 4 years. It was a colossal lie. It's just one lie after another. All right. So regarding these L.A. riots, if that's what they are not peaceful protests. They are flat-out riots. Let me see if I can post this if this is working.
Secretary, I don't know why you insist on.
Oop, wrong one. My apologies. That's the scene. That is what they call a peaceful protest. Is that a peaceful protest, G?
I mean, I see bonfires and people warming themselves by the fire. I mean,
they're just going to patriotism and
love of country for Mexico, the place that they're trying to escape from.
Exactly. You know, it's pretty bad. It's pretty rough. Is there sound? No, I guess there's no sound on this one. There's the Mexican flag right there. And what I wanted to do is, I don't know why it's not uploading, people, but what I wanted to do was show the picture of the guy on the car waving the Mexican flag. I mean, it looks like a scene out of Mad Max. I'll be quite honest. That's what it looks like. Let me try once more. But it doesn't seem to want to upload. Yeah, it's just not uploading. Apologies to that. As I said, I have one reason I have been off the air is, Mike, I've had issues, and we're hoping those are going to be resolved in full soon. But we've all seen that image. So to get to the audience, to let the audience know, so this all started with ICE raids that were targeting businesses. They're targeting farms. They're targeting Home Depots, and rightfully so. That's where the criminals are. If y'all think criminals live in this is Crime City Central, we're living in apartment crime 101. No, they embed themselves amongst the innocent, amongst the farms, you know, amongst other illegals. So and they went to Home Depot and they had warrants for criminals. And that story turned into they just were trying to round them up, you know, there, you know, Mr. Latino, Mr. Black Man, and we know you few Asians are still on our side. That's what they're doing. Come on, let's get the pitchforks out, you know. No, it's not Frankenstein. We're going after Trump. You know, getting all the pitchforks out. And that's what got this started. So it was a Home Depot in Westlake, and ICE focused on the criminals. That and some have confirmed, some they say, I haven't confirmed this, but via, I do my research through, I take a bunch of stories, I'll reduce them in size, I use AI to help me, and AI told me that they did confirm some of those individuals had ties to drug cartels. You know? So after that, the protests erupted. Some days it was peaceful, obviously, but here's just what happens, G. They got agitators. The easiest agitator to point you to is the infamous Ray Epps, who's like, yeah, we got to go into that White House. Yeah, yeah. There are studies done. It's factual. This is not. It's a product of human nature. It's a psychosis event that happens. We get into this mob mentality, this mob rule, and you kind of mentally lose it, and you just get caught up in the mob and what they're doing, and then you come to your senses. That's a fact that happens, and that's what they're hoping to gin up here. And so these peaceful protests, there were paid insurrectionists in – well, I don't want to say insurrectionists because that's debatable, but they were paid – rioters to get and gin those crowds up, and they did. And the protests, as you saw, the burning cars. And, you know, this is what, on a side note, this is why I think eventually it's going to be a high price for the robo-taxis, because there's always what we call in Spanish, we call maleantes, just thugs, goons, whatever you want to call them. There's a car with no driver, and they're going to mess with it. It's human nature, yeah, right. You, especially now in our society, because y'all parents who think little Johnny lives down the street. No, your boy and your girl is little Johnny. Blake Lively, mean girl. You know, they're out there. So they're burning cars, and that mentality erupts, and it spreads. And Donald Trump, he says, I learned in 2020, I lost an election because they used the BLM movement as a spear point. This ain't going to happen. We have to keep law and order. Gavin Newsom. I don't know. He was probably with his campaign manager's, his new campaign manager's mistress. I mean, let's be honest. There's some data there to back that up. Maybe that's who he was with. Were you with your mistress, Gavin Newsom? We need to know. But he sure wasn't around to call the National Guard. And this is what Karen Bass was doing. This is her favorite pose. Ms. Bass, comment. I mean, the National Guard was nowhere near in those Rolodexes. So Trump called it out, and he used the Title 10, I think. I'm not exactly sure. I don't have it in front of me, but it wasn't the same act that Lyndon Johnson. But precedent had been set, and it had to do with insurrection, the title that he used. Am I correct, G?
Yep.
Yeah, with insurrection. Now, that's going to be argued up the up the courts. But as G noted, and others have noted, look, you're waving the flags. You're saying we want our country back. Now, it's debatable how serious it is, but I got news for you people. How do you think the foothold of a revolution starts? It starts exactly like that. That's exactly how it started. BLM could have been seen as an insurrection. You know, that's how bad it was. I'm not saying it was, but I mean, you can literally turn. But when you're waving the Mexican flag, this is our land. It was stolen. No, chica. We took aspects of it, Texas, and y'all gave us the rest of it for $15 million. Yeah, y'all need to work on your negotiating skills. $15 million for a big old chunk of land. You know? But the point is that can be viewed by some and legally as an insurrection. That is debatable. See, that's the other thing, G. We're honest with them. We'll tell them. We don't sit there and claim that was an insurrection. We'll sit there and say that's what it looks like. The courts will decide. Yeah. And why do you say it's going to go to Supreme Court? Because these fools cherry picked their activist judge to turn it around. Okay, so June 7th, it escalated into citywide chaos in Paramount, Compton, and beyond. They're trying to say, oh, it's just a few spots. Yeah, that's how it starts. They were hoping to get it to spread. But Trump and the cops who came out and said, we are overwhelmed. And Newsom and Bass, oh, no, we got it under control. No one's complaining. As the cops going, help me. You know? And it escalated. And that's when June 7th, when President Trump federalized the California National Guard, deployed 2,000 troops to L.A. I get what you libertarians say. I get what you Democrats say. That's a fine line. But who put Trump in that position? You all did, Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass, because you refused to call out the National Guard to protect your citizens. Again, there are citizens in Minnesota, small business owners, Minnesota, Chicago, or Portland in Oregon, Seattle, New York City. They're working for the man now because you destroyed, burned, and looted their business and insurance costs jacked up.
Yeah, I think it's over $1 billion at least.
Yes. Yeah, right now it's over $1 billion. So he federalized it, and Gavin Newsom and Mayor Bass said, I have concerns. Well, what about the burning cars and the burning buildings? I ain't seen no burning cars burning buildings. You lie. You racist. You know, that's their response. And June 8th, 300 National Guard troops arrived. And the short story of this all, Trump has every right to call the National Guard to protect federal buildings. That is within his purview. Yeah. And let's not forget the Minnesota, the governor, Governor Walz, you leave that police station alone. They overran it. How many illegal guns made their way to the streets because Governor Walz allowed the police station to get overrun? You know, so in June 9th, Trump increased the National Guard presence to 4,700 Marines. I have no issues with it. That is not authoritarianism. It's about setting down law and order. And if Newsom and Bass say, all right, Mr. President, we're with you, but we need to take control with this. We want the Marines out. We're going to call and take control of the National Guard. Here's our game plan. Trump would go, no problem. Why? Because Trump doesn't need these optics neither. He doesn't need a jarhead, you know. You know?
Well, like you said, it was only 4,000 National Guard and 700 Marines. Now, if it was 100,000 military people and it's all up and down the state, that's something different. Now, I might jump on the bandwagon with Newsom and say, look, wait a minute. This is way overboard. But 4,000 and 700 Marines?
That they say that's where it starts. No, Trump doesn't want to deploy. See, Trump's not an idiot. Damn, these optics are bad, but I'm not going to have 20. See, he listened to y'all in 2020, and look what happened. The summer of love. No, that wasn't Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, rest in peace. Love. That was a summer of hate. So in June 10th, G, the protests turned into full-scale riots. L.A. had fires consuming neighborhoods. That's when Karen Bass goes, I think I better institute a curfew here. And it's working. You know, the National Guard began accompanying ICE agents on raids targeting the criminal suspects because they're not going to stop. Why? Because over 80% of the American people support the deportations. Over 50%+ support what he's doing right now with the National Guard. And, of course, there's misinformation. See, my friends, the cool thing with G and I is we try to go in-depth and explain it. We don't do the surface talking points. We don't do the surface sound bites, you know. And this misinformation is continuing to spread by CNN, by MSNBC, by CBS, ABC, by the network news. And June 11th, our favorite Latino, G, our favorite, I mean, looking at him, dude, you play fullback, linebacker, Alejandro Padilla said, I got to quit. It's all jacked up, and deservedly so, happened. And in June 12th, downtown L.A. and surrounding areas are engulfed in flames. It's not the whole city, but it's enough of the city to sit there and give the Democrats what they thought they wanted, but it turned a backlash against them. And that's when the federal judge ruled this, June 12th, Trump's National Guard deployment is illegal. You know, but an appellate court within minutes said, hold your horses, my good friend, leftist authoritarian Sal Justice Breyer. And then DHS cites cartel-linked
arrests. And June 30, the city is still ablaze. That is today.
Well, one story before we moved on to today. I was at the gym yesterday, and I see MSNBC, and I you know, all I see is a little bit of closed captioning, but it was Lawrence O'Donnell.
Oh, God, Lawrence O'Donnell.
And all I see the banner below saying, judge gives authority of the National Guard, takes it away from Trump and gives it to Newsom. Almost like it was almost like a wish for 2028. It was what I could see it. It's like the presidency goes from Trump to Newsom. It's like they're living their wet dream, right? Like this is
you said wet dream. I'm thinking that was Lawrence O'Donnell and Gavin Newsom because he came out and gave a press conference right at that ruling. That was their Jeffrey Toobin moment. Look it up. Yeah. It was.
I remember that.
How ridiculous.
During the days of COVID and Zooming.
Yes, yes. How ridiculous was it? Newsom and has his post up then with the administrator. We're having technical difficulties. He took his post down. I will be taking control of the National Guard. And it's not that I want, we do not want Trump to do this. We don't. But we want Trump to protect Americans. This isn't affecting G and I. We are in wonderful, beautiful San Diego. But a few days ago, some people tried to get the riots going down here. So the spreading was happening. But we also are tired of the madness. I was born and raised in Panama as an American citizen. My dad was in the Special Forces community. Growing up, every kid on my street in North Carolina, Fayetteville, North Carolina, when they would say, who are you? I tell William Del Pilar. Oh, is Ed Del Pilar your dad? Yeah, I used to work for him. Or I worked for him. Everybody knew my dad. It was a tight community. But I grew up tightly with my Panamanian family, and I saw two dictators. I saw how they rile things up. And we see this here. And I look to you, foolish kids, as that young man who said in the video so well, y'all born at Kaiser. You know, protesting and throwing up a flag because y'all think it's the Garden of Eden down there and we're hell. You have no clue. You have no damn clue. So when Trump brought out the National Guard, I was like, I say, you go, you get the peace down there because the mob mentality is a real thing. It's dementia. It's madness. It's psychosis. People just get caught up in it. They see five other people entering that Apple store, grabbing their iPhone. They look around and they run in there, they grab one. And then they come to their senses and they may feel guilty afterwards. But in that moment, they become part of the mob. All right, so on June 13th, the city's still ablaze. The No Kings protest is planned for tonight across the nation. I think what you may see, G, and I don't have to film the video, but in Chicago a couple of days ago, it was like watching an old 2D video game from on top. All the protesters in this car. And those protesters like little ants jumping to get out of the way because that car was going to run them over. I'll tell you this, in Chicago, the protesters, they're like the thugs here. They're like, get out of my way, I'm going to run you over. I don't care. I think we're going to see more of that. I think we'll start seeing pushback. During the Rodney King riots, Fedco doesn't exist today. They sent their guys up from San Diego to L.A. with shotguns on the roof. The looters saw them with the shotguns, and my friend who was there, I wouldn't call him a friend, but he was dating my roommate's girl, and we weren't tight, but we knew we were friendly. He was up to a tall guy. He told me, I cocked it. I don't know if they heard it, but they saw me cocking it. They saw me pointing it. Nobody came near Fedco. Yeah, they got guns on that roof. You know, you're going to see that. Am I wrong? I'm more than likely wrong, but I think there may be incidents of that happening. Your thoughts?
Well, I think what the difference between Rodney King and this one, I mean, it is race-based, right? But back then, it was the community that was the victim of the racism, right? And again, those cops were acquitted of the Rodney King beating, but I do think there were racist attitudes within them.
Yes, yes.
But they
all thoughts become your own buddies. Not to interrupt, but you remember your buddy said that the longer you're in, the stats show where all the crime from, and cops have this sadly this negative connotation that begins to form.
Right. So I view that different because they view that a lot more personally. I think this time around there are like Craigslist posts asking for people to come out, and there's money. Yes. And it's not like small amounts of money. It's not like $100. It's thousands and thousands of dollars, which I think these riots are being funded. And I believe what I've seen online. I mean, I'm usually skeptical about that stuff, but I really do believe there's money funding this. And why, I don't know. I think that it's just opposition to Donald Trump. So I think that's going to peter out pretty quickly, because that's, they're not fighting for something that's being done to them. They're fighting for something that's being done to illegal immigrants who are criminals. And they're being told, well, it's four-year-olds who just want to be in school. Like, and I think when it comes down to, okay, well, we might die for this cause, I think they'll disperse quickly. So I don't think this is something that will gain steam and hold steam for very long. So I think Trump calling it an insurrection is a little too rich, but I think that's his justification for doing something that Newsom's not doing. So I think that's why he's calling it that. But there's no insurrection here, right, in my view. But I will tell you something, and I was thinking about this while you're talking. Newsom is, he's thinking the wrong playbook. He's thinking, how do I win an election in California? And what he should be thinking is, how do I win?
He can't run for office, though, G. I don't mean to interrupt, but he's done as governor.
No, I'm talking about presidency. But he's thinking about it as a Californian.
Oh, yeah.
If he was smart, he would say, okay, no, I am going to bring in the National Guard and clamp down on this, and I'm a strong law and order governor. Because what's going to happen is when the primaries start, and that's going to be early 2027, and you know Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania is going to run, and he's more of a moderate. He's going to come in and say, you are protecting illegal immigrants, but I stand for the rule of law. And that guy's going to come in like a Bill Clinton, and he's going to say, no, I'm not. So Bill Clinton's thing was, when he ran, is I'm no Jimmy Carter. He ran against Jimmy Carter.
I like women.
In 1992, right? So that was his thing. So Josh Shapiro, he's going to come in, and he's going to hammer Newsom with this saying, you protected criminals over the rule of law.
And oh, I think Shapiro. Hold on. What else does Shapiro have to add to that?
I mean, there's plenty, but what do you have in mind?
One of these thugs, just like those protesters, tried to kill me and my family in the mansion.
Oh, yes, yes. So, you know, I think Newsom, he's thinking California, just like Kamala Harris in 2019. She ran for president. She's thinking California, and she's talking about transgender surgeries, free for prisoners and free health care for all illegal immigrants. But you citizen, you have to pay for the health care. So
and they're tired
it's
of
not,
that.
It's not a playbook that's going to win. And I think he needs to get his head out of California and look around. If he really wants to win the primary, because he has to survive that first, he really needs to go out there and learn about the rest of America.
I think he's done, G. People used to tell me, oh, Obama's, he's running this, he's running that. Like, as I said earlier, no, Obama's a pawn being used by donors. I have an ability to look at certain people for what they are. And that's why I knew his endorsements would fail. I go, they don't even believe in Obama. They're voting for him because they support him because he's black. But once they start looking at these policies and see how they're failing, Obama's not going to go down well in history. The same thing with Kamala. She was dumb as a rock. I thought the only way she's going to win is with voter fraud. Luckily, it was too big to fail. Whether true or not, you know, Trump just has some huge numbers. And I view Gavin Newsom in that same vein. Gavin Newsom is charismatic. Gavin Newsom is not dumb. But Gavin Newsom has lost his way, and he has surrounded himself with nothing but yes people. There's not one person that probably goes to Gavin, look, you moron, listen to G. He's telling you the right thing, you know. You need to clamp down on this because he's looking at the immediate numbers. Oh, hell, they don't like me talking to Charlie Kirk. They don't like me doing this. The conservatives are eating me up because I'm not following through despite the fact I'm telling them what they want to hear. They actually want me to do something. Oh, my God. Who the hell are those conservatives? Yeah. So he's kind of stuck in a riptide. Going nowhere but to his political death because he's already done and doesn't realize it. Real quick, G, before we go on, I'm terrible with this. Again, it's a new software, but Big John Big John, our host of Free For All and Liberty Lands. Big story going down there with the libertarians. Mike Turmat, the former libertarian vice president. He's one of us. He's become a Republican. So check out the various podcasts of Free For All and Liberty Lands where John talks to Mike Turmat about how Mike finally came to his senses. Came to Republican. But I'm teasing. However, we asked about how big Alejandro Padilla, my essay from whatever suburb in L.A. he was born and raised, Palisades, is from. He is, however, several posts on X claim varying heights ranging from 6'1 to 6'4. One post describes him as 6'1 and over 250 pounds, while another says he's 6'4. To me, he looks bigger than 6'1, but I'll buy 6'1. But he looks a hefty 250, and he's not all fat and blubber. He's just a big guy. He's a big dude. He's the type of guy where he throws a punch at you. As a kid growing up, when I used to get in the few fist fights I did, I'd always look at how big the guy. If he connects, I'm done. I got to stay out of that. And being a natural wrestler, that's what I always a deep fall back on, you know. And I was pretty good at that. And I was a cheap shot artist. My dad said, son, you're 5'7". That's dripping wet. You hit him first. I got quite a few scraps. Well, you want me to do this? And bam, I hit him. <You know? laughs> And one guy was almost twice my size. And my friend says, dude, and I'm kicking him. And then they pull me off. It wasn't because I was a badass, Jeeves. I was scared bleepless. You know, this guy's going to knock me out. But my point is that's how I would look at Alex Padilla. He's a big guy. You know, he will take you out if he connects. So, I mean, he was bigger than the Secret Service guys. So, they did. I think they were 1,000% right. The Trump administration has already come out and said we did nothing wrong, and his story is losing, I think, because of Elon Musk. You know, I did a short on Elon Musk, and I caught it like I saw it. But I'm grateful to everything Elon Musk is. He just acted like a petulant child. He says he suffers from Asperger, and they're prone to violent emotional outbursts. And I think he had his phone or was on a computer and was like, having that emotional outburst, you know. But Padilla,
and he's retracted it since. So no, he's retracted everything.
You didn't listen to my damn short, did you? What kind of support
is that? Anyway. You do so many of them. One is about to slip by me.
So thank you there, Big John, for your comments there. But he's a big dude. All right. Any final comments on? I do want to show this final video. Okay, guys, I am Latino. We are machismo. We hold our mothers in reverence. The sad part is, I don't know if it's a culture thing of America that Latinos become, but it's not just Latinos, it's Blacks, Asians. I don't know about Indians. Can't speak for the 7-Eleven hits, you know. But that said, my dad taught me never to hit a girl. I think I was 6 or 7. My sister took something from me and it hit me, and I just hauled off and I hit her. And next thing you know, boom, 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 I'm hitting the ground, falling. My dad had reeled back and bam, hit me in the back of the head. And I got up, staggered. You like it? No, don't ever hit your sister again. I never touched a woman after that. In the physical sense. I mean, there's some nuts out there. I won't get into that. But you get my point. So when I saw this, I freaked out. I guess, and I'm not a protective type figure. I want to protect everybody all the same. But this really bothered me. It bothered the hell out of me. This woman, she lost someone from her family because of an illegal alien, killed them. She's out there, you know, saying this is wrong, yada, yada. You tell me, G, give me your thoughts on this. In the audience, feel free to comment on this.
Wow, what's up?
That's the woman. I want you to notice, audience, the gender of everyone attacking her. That's a man in a bicycle running right into her. That's what set me off.
You stupid ass bitch.
Maybe she should have said that.
Oh, man.
Hey,
And to defend her, she was angry because she lost somebody. She goes, y'all defending this? You're destroying, you're rioting. And they physically, these are men physically right. attacking a grown woman. And I'm like, what the bleep is the matter with you people? You know, as angry as I would get at a leftist woman and I would want to cock back and hit her because I loathe her so much, I would not. Now, that doesn't mean if a woman attacks me, I'm not going to grab her and throw her down. Get away from me. But they were physically attacking her. I'm like, that's what you are defending, Democrats. That's what you're defending, Nancy Pelosi. That's what you're defending, Jasmine Crockett. That's what you're defending, Chuck Schumer. That's what you're defending, Gavin Newsom, Karen Bass, Alejandro Padilla. That's what you're defending. Thoughts, G?
No, if the roles were reversed and that was a woman who was fighting for the rights of someone, an MS-13 being deported, they would have made a heyday out of that. Let's say it was a male ICE agent hitting a liberal woman. But no, since the roles are reversed, they're silent about it. And that's sad. I mean, I agree with you. You never put hands on a woman and no matter what they're doing, unless you're trying to defend yourself, of course. But yeah, I mean, obviously she's upset and angry. So you just defuse the situation, walk away. But that guy came in, and that's the thing. He came in, right? He wasn't there. He wasn't listening. He came in, saw the situation, and rammed into her on purpose. I mean, that is just, it's uncouth.
You've got terrible, pathetic, disgusting excuses for parents. That's parenting 101. And you know that guy in the back, and the bike's going to go to his buddies. Yeah, man, I did it. Oh man, that's the type of stuff where I wish were superheroes. Just take out that mom. You just do not do that. This is what angers me. Well, first of all, maybe the woman should have learned a lesson, not been, bitch, calm down, little woman. But at the end of the day, don't hit a woman like that. You don't go after her like that. You're a man. You're bigger. You're physically stronger. Though she did kind of brush off that bike.
She was a tough woman, but still, I mean, your point stands. You don't hit them, regardless whether they're tough or dainty or whatever it is.
I agree, brother. All right, let us move on to our final topic. You know, guys, I told you we got to stick to an hour. I don't know how good my blurring this will last. So far, so if you see me looking down, I'm just checking this out on other platforms because I can't see how I look. And one of the previous podcasts, at the end, none of these fools, including G, said, hey, William, you're kind of getting blurry on us. They were afterwards.
No, Your video's great.
Outstanding. So let's move on to the final conflict of the night. I do not have mixed emotions, but I think there's a backstory. To me, take him out. Israel is attacking Iran after years and decades of warning. It's a situation in which people, what's Israel doing? Israel just had enough. Every terrorist group in the Middle East is funded by Iran. Israel has literally taken out in their world is domestic terrorism in the Middle East, every terrorist group, and they've had enough with Iran and the continual threats. And now the potential of Iran having a nuclear weapon is enough. Why? They're run by religious zealots who have said they will take Israel out with a nuclear weapon if they have the opportunity to. You have to believe everything that Iran says because everything they've said, they tried to go through with various levels of success. And this is called Operation Lion, I believe, Operation Rising Lion. Quick question, G. Do you know the irony of that?
I don't.
I believe the Shah symbol and the flag had like a rising lion on it.
Oh,
yeah. So I don't know. There's a little innuendo. I want to sit there and say I may have seen it on Patrick Ben David or my dentist who I told you from Iran may have mentioned it or something to that nature. But Israel has launched preemptive strikes on Iran's nuclear sites, Natanz. That was just today to stop Tehran's nuclear threat driven by religious zealotry. Obama, remember the billions and billions of dollars? How many billions? Do you remember, G?
I don't, but I want to say 20.
Yeah, it was billions. And, William, they were using that just for their nuclear refinement. No, they were using the money they would have taken for domestic terrorists And then they put that money into the nuclear refinement, and the money we gave them was used for the terrorists, or vice versa. The point is, the excess money allowed them to fund even more terrorists and to work on their nuclear enhancement in their zealotry mind to take Israel out. You know, sure, the side note is, yeah, we're going to use it to help Iran. But in the back of their minds, we're going to use this to take Israel out. There's no one that really denies that, and you can't, because they kind of said it. You know, that's why I'm like, okay. Why are you complaining of what they're doing to Iran? Well, William, those are humans here. Really? October 7th was a human? The Six-Day War, where all those nations ganged up to attack Israel? And then when they took the Golan Heights, because they used that as the focal point to come in and try to take them out because it was a vulnerable spot, and Israel refuses to give anything back now, and they go, well, that's stolen land. No, it was won during the pillaging of war because they needed to protect their backside. My point is this, right or wrong, Israel is not doing the attacking. They have been attacked. And this is a response to all those attacks and Israel finally saying enough. Do I want to see these attacks? No. But I understand why Israel's doing it. Do I condone those attacks? I neither condone nor condemn them because that's not our issue. If somebody lived in your backyard and threw rocks in your backyard and your daughter and your two boys, I believe, are in the, I apologize, maybe you didn't want people to know that, but your kids are in the backyard and they start throwing rocks at your kids, what are you going to do?
Well, if they're throwing rocks, I would be really upset. But if they're building a bomb or they're about to throw dynamite,
No. They're building one of those things that launches the rock.
Right. You know? Right. But no, I mean, if nuclear weapons, I mean, forget about little rockets, right? Nuclear weapons, you're taking out, I mean, you just need three and you take out Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, or whatnot, and that's it. Israel's gone. So they're fighting for survival, and I get that. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, they're Hezbollah and Hamas doing their attacks, as bad as those are and tragic and inhumane.
And the Houthis.
But in the end, they're just rocks. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, that's like planting a stick of dynamite under my, you know, in my backyard. Now you're just really up the game. So I get why Israel needed to do it. I think what I thought was ironic is, and I'm sure you and the audience have seen the videos of the Iranian missiles coming in, and we're talking about the aftermath today. The Iranian missiles coming in, the Iron Dome going up, is we saw the Iron Dome, the Trump money, fighting the Obama money, which I thought was ironic, right?
Obama money, that's a good point.
$20 billion building those missiles, flinging them over at Israel, and it's like, okay, we're seeing our tax dollars on both sides. I mean, I call it Obama money, but it's really our money, but that's our money in the air. I just think that's ridiculous. But no, I fully support Israel and what they need to do. But the fact that Iran has those missiles and it's our money doing that, terrible.
No, I get that. And this is what, like, Glenn Greenwald. And Glenn, I'm on your side. I don't care what you do personally. And I thought them uploading you making love Hershey style, you know, that was wrong. Yeah, and I'm not saying that as a jest, but that's kind of just so people know he's gay. But for you to come out and all the time say, well, we need to stay out of Israel's affairs, then to come out today, Israel, or we could have stopped this before it started if we had told Israel, if you do this, we're going to do this. So I'm like, what is it? You want us to stay out of their affairs when it doesn't suit your ideology, but you want us to get in their affairs when it suits your ideology. You're a freaking hypocrite. That's why I have issues with people like him. You say one thing, but deep down you mean another. You want us to use our powers to stymie Israel is what you want us to do, Glenn Greenwald. But my point here, and for those of you who don't want to believe us that Iran has said this about nukes, there's a 2018 IAEA report on Iran's nuclear, what they call rhetoric, where they confirm the Khomeini threatening genocide and nuclear use. And then there's the 2024 threats that escalated to that, and that report was done via Reuters, how you say it?
Reuters. Yeah.
Reuters. So what's going to happen is they're going to do everything they can to damage. They're taking out his right-hand men. They're trying to devastate him and leave him alone on an island so the Iranian people can create regime change. Nobody would have feared if the Shah was in power in terms of them having nuclear weapons. because the Shah had common sense. But when you're talking fanaticism and religious zealotry, that kind of changes everything. Why do we know that? Since Khomeini took over, the Khomeinis have been on two generations now since the 70s when they took power to genocide Israel. You give them a nuclear weapon, and if the potential of a dirty bomb increases to more likely than not. In their minds, they're going to go, hey, if we give them a dirty bomb, y'all don't be thinking the big mushroom cloud like you see from the 40s. Think of a dirty bomb. That's how they're trying to do it. Menachem Begin and Golda Meir expose Israel's strategy. If we see a nuclear bomb first, we're launching ours ahead of time. If we get launched and we're going to die as a nation, we already have plans in place to where all these nuclear facilities going red alert and those bombs are taking off. So don't be FAFO. And that's what Iran's doing. And Israel's doing everything to stop that. So am I for this? No. But between Biden, between Obama, they opened these doors. And look, the Shah, and this is where I have issues with Patrick Bet-David. He's also a great podcaster. But he's so far up the Shah family's tush. It's like they did no wrong. They were like, great, perfect, this, that. I'm like, they created all this. His corruption and greed in his later years opened the door to the falling of Iran.
Yeah. And for the audience, Patrick Bet-David, he's Iranian.
He fled. He says his last image of Iran. I like the dude. I'm not too keen on what I've read about the multi-level marketing. But the man's a phenomenal businessman. In fact, he's so phenomenal. Luigi Mangione, the kid who killed the healthcare CEO, said, you know, I'm finding myself here and I'm reading a bunch of books. And one of those books is Patrick Bet-David's Five Steps. You know, like, damn. But the point is they got a lot of bad history. When I say bad, just their own issues, just like we do. But they put Israel in an untenable position. They're going to genocide us. And if you feel that neighbor is eventually going to throw enough rocks and your kid's going to get hit, you're going to do something to prevent that. And that is Israel's position. So they've taken that. Their jets are flying freely over Iran. They're bombing Tehran at the moment. But earlier today, hey, Iran retaliated with missiles towards Tel Aviv. Now, the one thing that did irk me with Israel was they went after us and tell them, oh, y'all bombing them. You know, what did you think they're going to happen? They're Iran. Of course, they're going to go after public centers. You know, but they act like, how dare you? How dare you? You kind of guys kind of went over there. So there is no how dare you. If anything, Iran's exposed themselves that they're willing to go after civilians. And where's Dave Smith? Where's all the neocons, the Democrats, the Libertarians, the Green Party, condemning Iran? Not one damn word out of them. Well, they shouldn't be attacking populist centers. Not one damn word out of any of those fools. And then when you ask them, they'll give you the fleeting, oh, no, I'm against that too. And but those Jews, that's how it works. Oh, no, I'm against that too. But those Israelis, you know, it's back to Israel. So tonight, as we're talking, you're probably seeing intensified attacks from Israel. And I think what's going to happen is, I believe, G, in your comment on this, I believe they're purposely keeping the Khomeini alive. Dude, you're worth $2 billion. Take your money. It's time to move on. And if he does something to retaliate in an October 7th, 2024 way, I think the Khomeini's gone. Your thoughts?
I mean, I think the Khomeini's going to be gone anyways. I think for their sitting government to allow this to happen, Israel to come in and just have carte blanche airspace violations, and they couldn't do anything about it, and they've lost nuclear scientists and the refining facilities, rightfully so, I think, because they're up to no good. It just shows how weak their government is. So I know Israel sat there and war-gamed this beforehand and said, okay, if we attack them, the leaders – I mean, they want to attack back, but they have to attack back, more importantly, because they have to show they're strong. They have to show they're just not going to bend over and take this. So, but I don't think money is going to do it. I don't think money is going to convince Khomeini to say, okay, I'm out of here. I think it's going to be an overthrow of the government. Again, the Iranian people are westernized. I mean, I know most of them now are younger and they've lived under this religious regime, but a lot of them hear stories from their parents of how they used to be able to wear bikinis and wherever they wear whatever they wanted, and they used to have a McDonald's and Coca-Cola around the corner and all that. So they hear the stories, and
oh, you see the pictures, G. They're all over the internet. Those pictures, you're like, damn,
right.
Oh,
there you go. Right. So, and when you said Patrick PBD earlier, he's up the Shaw's butt. I think that's just more of a comparative, right? Like, you have
fair point.
Pre and post, and you go, okay, this guy, he of course he's better. I mean, because everything got really bad after that. That doesn't.
No, G. Not to interrupt, but I've heard his shows, and it's like. It's literally the Garden of Eden, the way he talks. But you're right. Yeah. He may realize he wasn't perfect, but the way he talks about it. And
right,
I'm like,
yeah.
So a twist on my question to you. The problem in a country that's been brought up on religious zealotry, and I do believe that. I'm not going to be one of these Christians. I can't say that. No. You see it because of all the freaking fanatic groups out there. Well, there are only a few. Well, those few are hundreds and hundreds. Real quick, there was a time in 2023, 22, and I remember doing the research for one of the early podcasts. There was like a volley, like in a 3 or 4 week period, maybe a couple month period, of like 800 rockets being launched from the Gaza area, you know, the whole Palestinian area into Israel. And that doesn't make the news. So, and I think Israel's just tired of this nonsense. But my twist to the question on you is we saw with Iraq. You can't have a true democracy because the religious zealots eventually take over with the votes and they go back to the same thing that we just freed them from. And then those people elected justify through laws the killing of different religious or Muslims that have a different, you know, kind of like the Baptist killing the Methodist type. You know, it goes to that. How will they bring a democracy, or do they just have a different monarch in a different way? Do they have a new Shah?
Back when I used to support the Iraq invasion, and I will be fair, like Iraq still has a democracy and all that, but I thought, okay, if you just give those people a taste of what America is like, then you will win them over. I mean, hand over fist. How can they not want I just say McDonald's because that's kind of like the American fast food icon. But yeah, pick whatever it is. Levi's, you know, rock and roll music, you know, whatever.
Well, hold on, G. That's an important point. Yeah. It was Dallas and Blue Jeans. What TV show is it today? That's right. I knew that would stump you.
Well, I don't watch TV. I watch YouTube all the time. What is it? Bring me up to speed.
I don't know. I really don't know. But
Taylor Swift.
Man, they're gonna revert back to Khomeini.
So, going back to what I was saying, when I supported it, I thought, okay, they'll just want democracy. But then I just saw all the infighting. Now, again, Iraq is still a democracy, but when I saw how quickly Afghanistan fell, I don't blame Biden for that. I blame him for the way he pulled out of Afghanistan, but I don't blame him for the Taliban taking over, because we all knew that was going to happen. Trump knew that was going to happen. So, but they don't want democracy over there. They believe that their religion has to be the law of the land. And as a Christian and a very devout Christian, I wouldn't ever want this country to fall under that same thing, under the Christian flag. Like I wouldn't want that, because you look at, there's 450 denominations of Christianity, and all of a sudden, what will I be forced to follow that one? Like I don't want that. So, but yeah, you're right. I don't think if a democracy takes hold in Iran for some reason, I just count the years that it will fall again.
Exactly. So they got to do something different. And for people out there, you may not want to hear this, but Afghanistan was a great problem, a great example, rather. They didn't want democracy. So what happens is Japan, y'all think Japan wanted democracy? No, they loved their emperor, even though he took them to a war they lost. So what happens is when you go and colonize, you colonize to a certain extent, and then democracy is able to flourish because the religions take a back seat. India is actually a good example, but it takes many years for democracy to legitimize, because corruption is always in there. Happens in Panama. I can't remember. There's a special on, I forget her name, Indira Gandhi. Was she the one who almost got you out of the nuclear war? You know, and then she fell out of power partially because of corruption, just bad decisions. So it takes a while for democracy to set in. But people who criticize colonialism, I get it. But the problem when you don't have it is you get in Iran. You know, and in Iran, in the modern world, well, that's nothing but a matter of potentially a matter of time before nuclear holocaust. Because once Iran goes, Israel goes, you know, Pakistan may go, damn, here's a chance. So long, India, boom, or vice versa. You know,
right.
The mob, you know, I saw that today about Afghanistan. I'm like, it's true. They didn't want a democracy. The only way you're going to be able to build a democracy there is by staying there for 50 or 60 years and working with the governments to build that. But we didn't want to do that. Oh, y'all do your own thing. We're just going to hunt Taliban down. Well, you can't do that when the Taliban's embedded in the same people who don't want democracy. It was just a matter of time before we go, how many trillions are we going to continue to lose? Because we don't want to do what's needed to be done. We're happy. And you know, who is happy when that happens? The military industrial complex. Because the war's a never ending war. So I apologize, but that's an important point. So, G, I give you my thoughts on what I think. I don't know what the U.S. would do. I'm the type of guy in this situation. I'm not in power. I don't have the answers. Let me hear what the people in power are going to tell us. But should we fully back Israel with THAAD systems to counter Iran's zealot-led missile retaliation? Should we deploy naval forces to the Persian Gulf to protect oil routes from the zealot threats? Y'all see a key term I keep saying, because that's what you're dealing with there. Should we impose sanctions to cripple Iran's economy, forcing a zealotry rollback? I cracked myself up. Should we support Israel at the UN with veto power against condemnations, framing it as self-defense against zealotry aggression, no, religious aggression, I put in there. But should we prepare troops for deployment? No, I can't even finish that one. No. If the zealot-led war widens. What are your thoughts, G? What should we do?
I mean, I think we're going to send aircraft carriers over closer to Iran. But, you know, I will tell you, the rest of the world looks at Israel struck first. So, you know, they can view this as Iran defending themselves. I'm not saying that that's a proper way to think. I mean, obviously, Israel struck nuclear enrichment centers. Iran struck population centers, like you mentioned before. So, but that doesn't mean that the world won't view it as the aggressive Zionists and Americans are, ganging up on poor Iran. But I think we will put naval forces there and prevent a wider war from starting. I don't think Trump wants to put any boots on the ground anywhere. I think he wants to go out as a peace president. So he might put sanctions, but I think he offered a deal. He said, hey, look, we're willing to talk. Even at this late stage, we're still willing to talk. Give me a call. We'll talk and let's make a deal. So that's clearly a Trumpism.
Well, you know why I don't believe that? I don't know if it's in the Quran or their belief system or what, but it's okay to lie to the infidel. And I think Iran has done that over and over and over. I think the enrichment program, I think Obama knew this. Obama supported Iran. Iran was the one country where he did nothing when they rose up. Remember early in his administration? And call it what you want, a conspiracy theory. But, you know, maybe they had something over him, but he was very soft on Iran and then gave him billions upon billions upon billions. So it's not a conspiracy theory. Things that make you go, but if you brought it up, oh, you're a racist, William. You can't bring that up. So that's never been investigated. But his ties to Iran, because he let Iran slide and he opened the door to this enrichment. And I believe they are liars. I believe they will tell us one thing and do another. So, and I think this is one of Trump's flaws. He's so desperate to make a deal with China, with Iran, with this. He will allow those lies to happen and they'll just wait it out. Where I don't think I think J.D. Vance is smarter in that sense. No. We don't believe your sorry asses. This is what we're going to do. And I think Israel knows, no, Donald. You know, this is why you don't like me, because I don't sit there and kiss the ring, Donald, in terms of, I'm trying to blank the current leader. Who's the current prime minister? The not Iran, but Bibi. BB.
Yeah.
I think BB's like, bro, I was in special forces. I've been in the trenches. You, daddy paid to get you out of the trenches. I think I know what I'm talking about here. And it's not that I'm a BB fan, but BB's speaking from experience. This is a country that has been savagely attacked over and over. Every year, they deal with not hundreds, but thousands, maybe tens of thousands of rockets being launched at them. So the fear of Iran's religious zealotry, again, the 2024 protests against the regime and what they did to those people, how they take him down. If you truly want a Nazi comparison, look at how Iran treats anybody who disagrees with them. Look what the Palestinians, the Hamas did to the one kid who say, no, we don't want war. They kidnapped him, tortured him, lopped off his head, and then put that head on the family's doorstep. You don't get any closer to Nazism than that. You know, right. So I am not one of these people who are going to go, we can't talk about him. It's two sides to a story. No. It's like when politicians or when people who pretend they want peace. Well, William, it's both Democrats and Republicans. No, it's not. It's Democrats out there rioting. It's Democrats out there running people over. It's Democrats out there doing all this. It's not Republicans. So I think Israel has had enough. That's who they are. That's who they say they are. And we're going to believe them. And I don't think Israel cares about what the rest of the world thinks. Are you going to mess with us? Look, y'all don't have an army in Europe. We may be small, but we know how to infiltrate. We know how to spy. And we know how to take you important people out. Don't bleed with us. And I think their lobbying is so strong here, they're not worried about a lack of U.S. support. And I'm not condoning that. I'm not condoning that because I don't like their lobbying and how the ADL is not listed as a foreign organization because they should be. Yeah. But my point to you is they got all their ducks in an order because they are a nation that has lived with the threat of genocide every freaking day since before we were born. And to you people, war is a last resort. Nobody wants war, but when you go to war, you go to war to subjugate and destroy your enemy. And when you go, you ready for peace talks? They're like, yeah, please, we want peace talks. Because if you don't and you seek compromise, you will see nothing but a repeat of what's happened since the 60s when Israel has been forced to listen to the UN, to listen to America, to listen to Europe, to listen to all these people who say, oh, no, we all want peace. Because all they do is beat the crap out of whoever the terrorist is at the time. That terrorist says, okay, we want peace, a truce right now. And 5, 10, 15, 20 years, however long, they rebuild and they attack again. And I think Israel said enough. Final word, G, before we close the show out.
No, I hope this doesn't escalate. I think there's going to be a few more volleys back and forth. But you remember, I think it was last August, Iran just all of a sudden out of the blue attacked Israel because of their retaliatory attacks on Hezbollah after Hezbollah attacked them for them attacking Gaza because Hamas attacked them. I mean, it is spiraling higher and higher, but I think this round will be quiet after about a week. So I think, again, like I said, Iran wanted to retaliate, but I think they also had to retaliate. Otherwise, they would be viewed as weak by their own populace or not the populace, but their power brokers who decide, you know, those people who decide who's in power. So I think they had to retaliate, and I think that will be the end of it, hopefully.
Well, right. I mean, that's how any regime that takes power, and if you disagree, they punish you. China's another example of the trade war. They have no leg to stand on. They know it. We know it. Everybody knows it, except for people who hate Trump. Ooh, tariff ban! What happens? China capitulated, has come to the table after they said, no, we're never coming to the table. But they had to. But they had to show this. They had to show their people, we're strong, screw them. We're going to do a tariff. In fact, the people in China, because there's a news blackout on everything, unless it goes through the China Communist Party, they probably think they're still winning the tariff war and they're kicking U.S. That, you're right, G. That is the Khomeini. They have to show strength, but it's hollow strength. Here's the key point, too. And I said you got the last word. I'll give it back to you. But here's the key point. They've never really fought, not since the Iranian army and then went to war. And then we saw how pathetic the Iranian army. We took them out in 6 days, you know, back in the early 90s. So they have formed out all their money to the terrorist groups. So and the Red Guard, I forget what their best troops are called.
You're talking about the Iraqis, Revolutionary Guard.
Yeah, the Revolutionary Guard. They're nothing, you know, compared to what they're going to face against Israel. And right. Israel's going to win the air war. They're going to bomb the hell out of him. They're going to take it out. And I think they're going to let Khomeini live with the condition. It's going to be that unsaid condition. It's time for you to allow regime change. And like you said, G, the power brokers are going to, their mouths are going to be watering. And I guarantee you there are, the Mossad is in there and the CIA is in there. MI6 is in there probably. They're all trying to jockey to get their puppet in charge. That's not right. But at the end of the day, anything is better than what we have. Now I'll give you the caveat, G. We kind of tend to say that a lot, and that turns out to be not true. But with the zealot, religious zealots are in a different league of their own, and that's my worry. So I don't condemn or support. I say Israel is doing what they believe they need to do. And if you truly believe we need to stay out of Israel's affairs, that works both ways. That means these agreements the United States of America has with Israel, with arms and all that, you got to honor your contracts, because if you don't, then all of a sudden we're interfering in their affairs. And you bigots, you can't have it both ways, TDSers. Honestly, G, you get the final word here, then we're going to close it out.
No, you brought up a great point. Iran fought Iraq for 8 years and it was a stalemate. And then you saw how quickly we kicked their butt in 1991 and 2003. I mean, we're talking weeks. So I'm not really afraid of Iran's military. I don't think it's strong or, you know, and they haven't fought anything in, what, 40 years now almost?
A generation, so, at least one generation.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't expect us to put boots on the ground at least anywhere outside of Israel. If it comes down to it, I think we might shore up Israel's strength. I think we might put some people there and just say, look, you attack us, you're going to be facing some, you know, defensive firepower. So, but I don't think we'll get to that. I think 2 weeks from now we'll be enjoying. I'm going to Hawaii first week of July, and I'll be enjoying my Mai Tai. And I think there will not be a lot of news over the summer. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think a lot of things they planned for the summer has fizzled. Alex Padilla does not like the fact that he's like, damn, Israel, why? Why? It was my moment. Yeah. But that said, G, great show. And to the audience, I just realized, usually I get my camera tighter, but this is my home office. This is where I work. You see my sales, my figurines, my desk. I read thing you always see back there's one of those surface writing tablets. Yeah. So I hope you get to enjoy the shot of my home office here. But the G, I want to thank you for coming on. This is our first podcast. Do I still look pretty decent, G?
Yeah.
No fuzzy. Yeah. Outstanding. Yeah. The techs are going to love that. They wanted us to podcast tonight. So I'm going to be sending them this podcast. And to everybody, before I go, make sure you like and share this podcast. Look, you get the real deal here with us. Today was a comeback show. We didn't have a lot of prep time because the tech said, hey, do a podcast. I was like, okay. But our shows are deeply and heavily researched, and we're not anal. We put it to you in layman terms. You come here and you leave with receipts. We gave you some receipts here today too. So we need you to like and share this show. Fire it up. But also bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. Grumblingsmedia.com. You can find our culture shows, our sports shows, our libertarian shows, and you're probably following us or watching via one of the social platforms, but make sure you like and share us on YouTube and follow us there. Also, we're also on Rumble. I've got to be honest, G, I'm very disappointed in Rumble. They only care about the paid contract people. The rest of us small content creators, they on us. They're using us. But YouTube, Rumble, we're on Apple Spotify under the handle Grumblings Media. I am William Del Pilar for G Mangani. G, we got to get a nickname for you. And it's got to be attached to
G-Man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just outvoted. That's right. We got the G-Man here. So for William Del Pilar and the G-Man, this has been Fired Up. And until next week, keep your heads on a swivel, because you don't know when that protester is going to come up from behind. We are out.